All right, good morning. It is August 6th, 10:48 a.m., and we have an agendized meeting for 10:30 to meet with Development Services for general business and to consider a couple action items. Joining us, the three amigos. So, welcome. Dan, are you leading this off?
Yes, thank you. Commissioner Brooks and Commissioner Van Beek. So, before you is a request for the signed a resolution and ordinance for CR 2025-002. So give it a little history. So back in February of 2025, a conditional rezone application was submitted by Cleon Hoagland, and this was to change approximately 36.86 acres from an ag to a conditional rezone to rural residential. On the 21st of this year, the board approved the request subject to conditions, and a development agreement was signed on March 3rd, 2026. The conditions included just meeting agency comments, addressing agency comments, dividing the property, the two parcels, into a total of four that are a 5-acre minimum average lot size, no secondary residences, and then showing that irrigation will be provided and included a water users maintenance agreement, or at least it was encouraged. And then they have to do this within a 2-year time frame. As you know, our county code requires a resolution to be signed demonstrating that they've met their conditions in order to get the map changed to show the zoning that got approved. Mm-hmm. In this case today, a draft resolution was provided and evidence that conditions have been met. Again, letters from Boise Project Board of Control, Nampa Highway District, and Southwest District Health were provided. The applicant does demonstrate that they recorded an irrigation easement with a water users maintenance agreement. It was reviewed by Boise Cuna Irrigation District and approved. Within the approval of the land division application, it does show the 5-acre lot sizes or an average of 5-acre. It does show that no secondary residence is allowed. And within that packet, you can see that conditions have been met. So today, staff has brought the resolution with evidence that I provided to the board already as part of that to be signed. And then after that is signed, the ordinance can be signed to update the zoning map to show the CRRR zone.
Chairman.
Yes.
Dan, I appreciate your diligence and the clear statements for the board's packet that he's met the conditions from, as you've indicated, the Boise Project Board, the Nampa Highway District, Southwest District Health, and I do appreciate he came in before the timeline. He's also included the suggested water users agreement. Those are all important things to the board, and it shows good faith and character on his part in wanting to meet the intent of good development in Canyon County. And Chairman, if you're ready for a motion.
I am, unless the director or assistant director had anything else to add. Okay.
Chairman, I move that the board signs the resolution of intent to rezone Hoagland's property in case number CR 2025-0002 as presented. I was going to do those one at a time unless
okay.
You...
I will second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries.
Yeah. And then with that, Chairman, seeing that all the conditions of approval have been met and that we've approved the intent to rezone, I move that the board approves the ordinance amending the Canyon County zoning map from A to CRRR for Hoagland, case number CR 2025-0002 as presented.
And I will second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries. Is there anything else that we need to take up at this time?
Not on action items. Appreciate that. I have a couple of things to discuss with you, general business wise.
Okay.
We've got a request this morning on the Christensen case from Mr. Lakey, the representative, requesting that the scheduled hearing for the end of this month, the 26th of August, be further tabled until he's done with this health issue. Mm-hmm. And talking to my staff amongst ourselves to provide a request, if you're amenable to rescheduling the hearing in fairness, not only to the applicant, but also in fairness to the public. Rather than waiting to the 26th to then table it further, we'd like to cancel that hearing and be able to post that notice immediately. And then when we select a new hearing date, 36 days out from that, that we will fully renotice the whole application appropriately with, you know, a new submittal or a new date, a new materials submittal date, and then go forward at that point.
Yep. Chairman, I have a question. Mm-hmm. So in that, it sounds like there were circumstances that were beyond people's control for health issues. I would suggest that we don't penalize for that. Nobody knows when that's going to happen. I didn't hear that specifically in there, but...
Yes.
Okay.
And I think in fairness to the public and to honor this request, that if we cancel the hearing and then renotice for the new hearing, we'll be charging the applicant a renotice fee just to cover the costs. It's not on the county to do that per se this time because we did it already once.
Okay. So there is going to be some fee assessed to the applicant?
What, $326 or something like that the applicant will have to
post-aging or whatever. Yeah. Thank you for the clarification. I am in favor of giving the public as much notice as possible. If we have a known schedule change, I think that's the least we can do, and we try to meet that when we can. Sometimes it's the last minute for whatever reasons. But anyway, thank you. I'm in favor of doing what you've suggested.
I am as well, and I think we should have constituent services put out a release and
yeah.
Facebook posts and whatever that minimize the spanking as much as possible.
And by the time the hearing comes, they forgot.
Yeah, and this just now clicks in. This is the NDART Christensen hearing. Yes, thank you.
Yes. So we'll coordinate with the applicant.
Okay.
For an appropriate date and go from that, and then we'll work with your staff to get that date.
Okay.
That sounds good.
What else?
So another thing I wanted to talk about is their building division updates concerns. We've been coordinating with the bigger fire districts in the county with regard to, we typically, on a building permit application, If depending on the fire code required, whatever, if their home is 150 feet off the road, then they need to have fire approval. And we've, in our coordination discussions with the fire district, they're also concerned simply from a standpoint of notice that they don't necessarily know about the building permits that we're issuing for ones that don't. Are maybe abutting the road or just off the road. And so rather than us interpreting the fire code or what have you, they would like us potentially to just make all the building permits go to your fire district and talk. Besides, they're going to have, then they can talk impact fees in person as well. Beauty of that. But that could be a lot of information to the fire districts, but they, what they're saying is they're not afraid of that. They have some new software systems and what have you to track things, but that way they're aware of what's happening around the valley and have a chance to chime in on any application if necessary or you know a condition prior to building the issuance of the building permit anyways. It's more comprehensive. That actually reduces liability on the county from a perspective of we're interpreting their code. It's fire code. Go to the fire districts and let them tell you what the requirement is for fire.
Yeah.
And so I'm just saying, just letting you know, we're having those discussions and we're gonna have to work something out. like Caldwell has their own software. They want us to put every building permit into their software, and then they can review it. It's like, that ain't our, you can require the applicant to do that, but we're not going to do that.
Yeah.
Now, Nampa Fire District has a different software that actually we can have access to from a, because it's online, it's not a security thing or whatever that we can give our building division an access portal, and so that we can see to ensure that the information, the appropriate information is in there, and then if we have conditions, then fire knows what conditions we're putting on it as well. They can always check up on that too. So, you know, we're hoping the smaller fire districts, some aren't interested in that at all, but if the big ones that we work with, Napa, Caldwell, Middleton Star, they're kind of all on the same page, and if we can be a little better partner on both ends of that.
Have they come forward with something to where, like, we interpreted incorrectly?
No.
Okay.
No. Yeah. We're always concerned about that because we're
sure
our staff or our front desk, our permit technicians, I don't want to get into that situation and interpreting it wrong either. So,
yeah. And Chairman, I inherently think it's a good idea. There's been an intentional shift on the part of the board in directing DSD to have the applicant work directly with the agencies that are involved in providing an approval down at the end stage. So to have the fire department look at that and ensure safety for the public, which is the end goal, I think is the right move. So thank you for bringing that forward.
I think as far as the fire district impact fees, that there have been some questions about what we've collected, do we ever miss them, whatever. I think that if everybody's got to talk to the fire district and let them, I've put it out there, why do we have to be the go-between all the
right
time collecting impact fees and building permit? Go talk to your fire district, see what requirements are going to have, pay your impact fees, bring us a receipt. That's all we need.
Right.
In that regard. And then like, because the question came from Parma, and there was a delay because it has to get into our system. We can't, because they were approved in March, but it didn't technically, it wasn't active in CAPS until June when all of them were together. Some of them were different time frames, but Parma was one of the last ones because it was new and had to be set up accordingly. You know, we missed six permits. Impact fees on six permits is all. But, you know, for a small district, I understand where they come from. But they could have, if the property owner with a building permit went and talked to them anyways, they could have collected them at that time from March until June when we were able to get it live. So, you know, I'm going to suggest that they help themselves at the same time. So
I think it's a great idea, and it helps. It's politicized heavily, which it shouldn't be. This is just an issue of safety that we're talking about for good construction and issuance of a permit. So I don't want to kick that political football anymore. I think this is a great solution.
I'm thinking most of them are just going to get a knockout of nothing needed from the fire district. That would be my anticipation. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah, we're good here, and then we just know that. We just have something on the letterhead of the fire department saying we're out.
Okay.
That would be my anticipated outcome to this.
Okay.
Because not all of them are on the same page. I mean, the bigger ones have created a form for response to comments and conditions that are consistent. They've worked together to do that, but we get from some of the smaller districts, you can circle a box, say no, and then say, well, I meant to say yes. It's like, but your form said no, so we didn't do this, so.
And one of those larger districts is trying to create alignment with some of the other ones that aren't the so-called big three, if you will. So.
Right. They are sorting it out, which is, you know, it's all partnership. We're all in it together. How can we best work together?
Appreciate that.
So then the other thing I want to talk about, there's a property off of Simplot Road. Wagner takes off of it. And it's all, this property is troublesome. It's small, it's zoned, it's already zoned. It was zoned M1 for years. It had a house on it. Now it has a house that isn't livable. It has a mobile home that was put on in the 90s, early 2000s, previous to this owner. He's got boats and cars and whatever. It became a code enforcement case because there were cars parked into the road. So code enforcement, then when they saw what was going on, they let the building division know about it. And so our building official has met with the gentleman and they've talked to him and just the situation. He didn't have the money to fix it. I'm not suggesting that we are going to go in and fix it for him. He's trying to find a different property to get, because this was, you know, the way he bought the property was, it was cheap, it was a handshake, and everything came with it. And he wants to be someplace else. And so I am just, the building division is concerned about not doing anything, but at the same time, this is a situation that just looks bad. And we don't want to pursue it either at the moment. We want the owner to try to fix his own way. So
is he open to that?
Kind of. If something comes up, that's kind of where we're just sitting on it, keeping track of it is all, and trying to help him help himself.
Yeah. It's based on the fact that he has motivation to move.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Okay.
Find it in the aerial.
Property's a beaut.
Pardon me?
The property is a real beaut. The original home doesn't have a kitchen in it. Mm. The septic system for the home is now being used by the mobile home, which shouldn't be there in the first place. Southwest District Health wasn't aware of it before we asked them. The house has a renter that, I don't know why he lives there, but he does. It's a mess. There's a burnt shop.
Do you have a deadline on how long that can sit there?
The guy actually, the gentleman came in and talked to Tom the day before, you know, day before yesterday, when it was going to, he needed to respond by then, just so he came in and had a long discussion. And I've talked to Tom about it a couple times in the past, so I've been aware of it, but we're just treading lightly on this one at the same time.
Yeah, this one, he's had a margin of time since this was sent out on this notice of violation, so.
So we're just following it.
Okay. I would submit that we track it, and because there's what you've described as a number of potential issues that may not be deemed safe, that we push a little
at
bit.
At some point in time, we may have to step in and right. Help that situation, but I want him to have time to.
That's always the best.
His living situation and
right.
Property owner and what he walked into and wasn't aware that this was a mess from the beginning.
Right.
It's been this way for some time.
So for the record, is it always the board's intent and development services, as well as the treasurer's office, who occasionally has to take tax deed, it's the best scenario if the owner takes responsibility for payment, cleanup, whatever else needs to go along with the responsibility of owning property. So hopefully they do that so that the government doesn't have to step in. That's not the best case scenario. Not that we don't handle things well, but it's better if the owner does it.
I assume he's paying his taxes, so otherwise at some point we're going to own it anyway.
Sure, yep.
So he must be paying his taxes.
Yeah.
And a few boats, and a trailer, and a box trailer, and a mobile home.
Yeah.
It'll all be ours.
It'll all be ours. Okay, well, thanks for this.
So that's about all I got for today. I will be out next week. You got any issues or whatever, I will leave the department in Josh's capable hands.
He'll be great. Yes, I have every confidence that you will be in good hands on your vacation. Yeah.
I hope so.
Yeah.
It'll be fun.
It's good. It's good to get away. Okay. Do you have anything else?
I don't. Thank you.
All right. It's 11:08. This meeting is adjourned. Thank you.
Thank you.